Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Killing Lincoln, The Shocking Assassination That Changed America Forever by Bill O'Reilly and Martin Dugard, is a work of popular narrative history centered on the final days of the American Civil War, the murder of Abraham Lincoln, and the pursuit of John Wilkes Booth and his fellow conspirators. Rather than presenting a dense academic study, the book organizes well-known historical events with the pacing of a suspense narrative, moving between military surrender, political uncertainty, personal motives, and the breakdown of security around the president. Its purpose is to make the assassination feel immediate for general readers, showing how one violent act disrupted the fragile transition from war to reconstruction. The book is best understood as accessible historical storytelling, vivid, chronological, and dramatic. While less focused on archival debate or historiographical complexity than specialized Lincoln scholarship, I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Lincoln's assassination as a turning point between war and Reconstruction. The book frames Lincoln's murder not simply as the death of a president, but as a rupture in the transition from Civil War victory to national recovery. By placing the assassination immediately after Robert E. Lee's surrender at Appomattox, O'Reilly and Dugard emphasize the contrast between military closure and political uncertainty. Lincoln is presented as a leader trying to shape a relatively conciliatory post-war settlement, one that would allow former Confederate states and citizens to re-enter national life under terms designed to reduce further bitterness. This context matters because the assassination did not occur during the height of battle, but at the moment when the United States was beginning to decide what victory would mean. The book argues through narrative arrangement that Booth's act intensified instability at precisely the worst time. Lincoln's absence altered the moral and political atmosphere of Reconstruction, leaving questions of punishment, reconciliation, civil rights, and federal authority to successors, who lacked his particular combination of wartime legitimacy and symbolic power. Secondly, John Wilkes Booth's shift from kidnapping plot to political murder. A central thread in Killing Lincoln is the evolution of John Wilkes Booth's conspiracy. The book presents Booth as a famous actor, Confederate sympathizer, and committed opponent of Lincoln, whose original scheme involved kidnapping the president rather than killing him. That plan was intended to aid the Confederate cause by creating leverage, but Confederate collapse made it obsolete. As the war ended and hopes for Southern victory disappeared, Booth's thinking moved toward assassination as a final act of revenge and historical self-dramatization. This shift is important because it shows the murder as neither spontaneous nor fully rational in strategic terms. The book highlights how ideology, personal vanity, theatrical temperament, and desperation converged in Booth's decision. His circle of conspirators becomes a mechanism through which resentment turns into action, but the plot also appears fragile, improvised, and dependent on timing. By tracing this escalation, the authors make the assassination understandable as a product of collapsing political fantasy rather than as an isolated crime by a lone fanatic. Thirdly, the security failure around a widely threatened president. Killing Lincoln repeatedly draws attention to the vulnerability of Lincoln despite the obvious dangers surrounding him. By 1865, Lincoln had led the Union through a brutal civil war, issued the Emancipation Proclamation, and become the central symbol of Northern victory and Southern defeat. Threats against him were not unusual, yet presidential protection remained limited by modern standards. The book uses the events at Ford's Theater to show how personal habits, public accessibility, and insufficient security combined to create opportunity. Lincoln's attendance at the theater, the familiarity of Booth with the building, and the weakness of protective arrangements are treated as crucial conditions that made the attack possible. This topic gives the book one of its practical historical insights. Major political violence often depends not only on motive, but also on institutional underestimation of risk. The assassination appears less like an unavoidable destiny than the result of a dangerous mismatch between the scale of national hostility and the informal protection surrounding the president. Fourthly, Manhunt, Punishment, and the Federal Response to Conspiracy. After Lincoln is shot, the book shifts from political tragedy to pursuit narrative, following the search for Booth and the handling of alleged conspirators. This section gives the story much of its thriller-like structure, but it also raises questions about how a government responds to political violence during an unstable national emergency. Booth's flight through Maryland and Virginia, his eventual death, and the arrests of accused accomplices are presented as part of a rapid effort to restore authority after a shocking attack on the head of state. The trials and executions, including the execution of Mary Surratt, show how the assassination expanded from one murder into a broader legal and political reckoning. The book does not function as a technical legal history, but it makes clear that the federal response was shaped by fear of wider conspiracy, anger over Lincoln's death, and the desire to demonstrate control. This aftermath connects the assassination to questions of justice, due process, and public order. Lastly, popular history told with thriller pacing and clear limitations. One of the defining features of Killing Lincoln is its deliberate use of popular narrative technique. The chapters are arranged to create momentum, with sharply focused scenes, time markers, dramatic cross-cutting, and emphasis on suspense even though the outcome is already known. This approach makes the book accessible to readers who may not usually read Civil War history, and it explains why the work reached a broad audience. Its strength lies in synthesis and readability rather than original scholarship. The same method also creates limitations. Specialists have criticized aspects of the book for oversimplification, dramatization, and factual imprecision in some details. Readers should therefore approach it as an entry point into the Lincoln assassination rather than as the final authority on the subject. Its value is strongest when it prompts interest in the period, clarifies the sequence of events, and demonstrates how narrative structure can make historical material memorable. Its weaknesses are most apparent when measured against more heavily documented academic studies. In conclusion, Killing Lincoln is best suited for general readers and people, audiobook listeners, book clubs, and students seeking a clear first encounter with the assassination of Abraham Lincoln and its immediate aftermath. Readers who want a fast-moving account of the final days of the Civil War, Booth's conspiracy, the attack at Ford's Theater, and the ensuing manhunt will find the book especially approachable. Its main intellectual benefit is chronological clarity. It connects military surrender, presidential vulnerability, conspiratorial motive, national grief, and the uncertain beginning of Reconstruction into one continuous narrative. Practically, it helps readers understand why Lincoln's death mattered beyond the personal tragedy, since it removed a uniquely powerful figure at a moment when the country needed political direction. Compared with more specialized books on Lincoln, the assassination, or Reconstruction, this work stands out for its pace, accessibility, and dramatic organization. It is not the strongest choice for readers seeking archival depth or scholarly debate, but it is effective as popular history. Its distinctive position in the genre comes from making a familiar event feel immediate without requiring prior expertise in Civil War history. If you would like to support Bill OND394, Riley, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.